This is URN Sport.
Hello and welcome to URN Sport. It's April and I'm here today with Dom. Dom Allen is here, the head of URN Sport. We're both just about alive. Dom messaged me last night. This is like a little insight into the show. But Dom messaged me at like 10 p.m. like, I'm ill. I'm not going to be able to do the show. And I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do on my own?
It was one of the, I'm going to be honest, it's one of the great health comebacks. It's with like the Brett Favre like flu game. It's just one of those great comebacks. So, you know, what can I say? I feel fine and dandy today. Did a COVID test. Nothing. All safe.
You've made it.
I made it, yeah.
Well, I was feeling a bit also, like the last three days.
Okay, how are you?
No, I'm also just about here. Mm. We're both just about here. And we're here to tell you about, I don't know if you've even said it yet. This is Touchdown, URN Sports NFL guide. And yeah, we're going to take you through some of the things that have happened in the NFL in the last 2 weeks. We did a podcast, I think, 2 weeks ago. And we predicted that, like, there was going to be lots of easy wins, and it turns out there haven't been lots of easy wins. There's been lots of like big upsets and close games, tight games. And yeah, we're going to start with one of the biggest upsets, which happened just this weekend. The Buccaneers, the Super Bowl champions from last year, lost to Washington. And yeah, I mean, I love that for Washington. That's like a big turnaround on their season. They've won like two games the whole year, and now they've taken out the Super Bowl champions who beat them obviously last year in the playoffs, so they got their revenge.
Well, revenge, was Taylor Heineke ever going to do anything in the playoff game? I think not. But the most important thing is Bruce Arians has come out and said this about the Bucks: they are soft, the training is mad, they're not playing hard on Sundays. For an NFL coach to come out and call his plays soft, it's a big statement, and there seems to be like an attitude problem going around the Buccaneers, which is something you don't expect, especially from a Brady franchise. It is madness to think that the Buccaneers have lost to a very average football team. Mm-hmm. Washington is not something to write home about. If they make the playoffs, I'll be absolutely astounded. There's so many good teams. Something like 15 teams have had five losses or something mad, or five wins in the NFC. That NFC is a mad division this year. There's lots of good teams. The Washington football team is not going to get anywhere near a playoff. And they just pulled this out of nowhere. And I think it says a lot, April, about the standard we expect of the Buccaneers. And for them to fall so massively to Washington, how do you think it happened? Because I still can't get my head around it.
I still don't understand. Yeah, you're right. Like, Washington the whole year, like, Taylor Heineke, he's just doing his best. Yeah, it's not, like, next-level sort of play. And the entire offense basically is, like, three people of Antonio Gibson, the running back, Terry McLaurin, the wide receiver, and sometimes, like, Taylor Heineke playing well. But, like, they basically relied on their defense last year to get them to the playoffs, and the fact that they were in such a bad division. Well, they're not in such a bad division anymore. They have a good team in the Cowboys in their division, but their defense has completely collapsed. Last year, they were in the top 10, and this year, I think for some of the stats, they are literally 32nd in the NFL. The literal worst defense, and how they can drop off that much is kind of surprising. Well. Yeah,
same players. That was the big thing. That's why everyone was so worried. Not since the 70s Raiders had a team retained all their players. And it's just gone horribly wrong. And right, do we need to bottle this up and just say this is almost the fracture that goes into a broken arm, which actually gets healed better, if, in a way? There was something wrong at the Buccaneers this season. This is a wake-up call. Do you think, April, this could almost change it around for the Buccaneers? Maybe this will be the moment we look back in a year's time on America's Game and go, it all changed around here, as it seemingly does all the time for Tom Brady, because I think it might be. Or do you think, as Bruce Arians said, there's a bad attitude, a bad stink around the Buccaneers franchise?
I don't know. I feel like they definitely can still come back from this. Like, it could just be a complete one-off. But at the same time, like, losing to a team like Washington is kind of like, oh gosh, what have you done? I mean, going to a different team that had some upsets recently has been the Bills. Like, they...
The Josh Allen Bowl.
They lost to the Jaguars, like 2 weeks ago now. And yeah, people were like, this is unbelievable. How have they completely like died on offense? They're not doing anything. They're not doing anything interesting at all. And their defense was like doing okay. But like, you're playing against the Jaguars, who've done nothing all year. And people were sort of putting that game down to, like, you know, just a one-off. But to some extent, like, is it just a one-off when they're also, like, you know, continuing to play and somehow win games? But they've been looking bad on offense all year.
Yeah, well, Sean McDermott, you expect not a great offensive coach, but you expect high things of his defense. And it's not quite working out. And maybe we need to remember it's not till Thanksgiving that football kicks into action. And I know that is what some of the best coaches have said. But one thing I've noticed about Josh Allen, defenses are backing off, right? So he's allowed to have all these short little passes. And the same with Patrick Mahomes. They still want to show off. If you've got to think, this is a very alpha mentality. They want to be throwing these deep balls. And I think there's been clips really showing of Patrick Mahomes trying to do no-look throws when there's an easy throw literally right in front of him, but he's trying to go for that A-star pass. And I think you see that bit with Josh Allen. And I think they just came a bit unstuck, and I think they underestimated the Jaguars. And I just don't think they're all there at the moment. I'm not sure what they're missing, whether that's just game mentality and waking up and, you know, they need to get into December, then January, then February, and the Bills might win their first Super Bowl. But I just don't think the Bills are the dominant team they should be. And I know they've ripped my Dolphins to shred this year. They've ripped many teams to shred, and Josh Allen's a fantastic quarterback, and their defense will get going soon as more film, I assume, comes into play, and they play players who they have lots of film on. So it could all change again, like the Buccaneers. It could all change after Thanksgiving. But the Bills losing the Josh Allen Bowl, where for the first time a player with the exact same name as another player got the sack, got the fumble, and got an interception, wasn't it?
He did all three. I mean, about literally like a career day for Josh Allen, the defensive Josh Allen. Because, like, has he done anything the entire rest of his career?
You know what? I'm going to stand up for him. Everyone's saying, oh, he's coming from obscurity. He's been the one redeeming light of defensive light for the Jaguars. And he's such a mad stat. And Scott Hansen was going mad.
I was loving it as well.
It was just like, and Josh Allen. If you were doing a drinking game for like Josh Allen, I think we need to start planning for a Super Bowl drinking game, April. I think we need to start doing that. I think your end, we do a big drinking game for the Super Bowl. I think that should happen. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if somehow like Josh Allen from the Jaguars gets traded to a different team and then he ends up playing against the Bills, like,
oh,
on his second team, like, because that was just... It was too perfect that these two players with exactly the same name were going against each other. Like, because there's two players in the Jets called Michael Carter, but they're both on the same team, so they don't play against each other and they're never on the field at the same time. But the fact that these two players were against each other, it just was like the stars aligned, and it was like something's going to happen, and it turned out to be like literally the best career game for Josh Allen, the defensive player. And also, like, everyone knows who he is now.
Yeah. His value will have gone up just a few thousand pounds now. So that's good for him. I mean, he's living his best life just on an absolute dumpster fire of a team. He's going to, you know, have the whole of February and January off. He can enjoy himself, but he'll be remembered this year.
Yeah. And talking about a dumpster fire of a team, I wasn't going there.
There was a look where you just gave me, it's just like, oh, we're going to talk about the Dolphins now.
No, I was going with the Detroit Lions. They have zero wins this year. And what could be worse than zero wins? Well, it could be zero wins and a draw. And I really hate the fact they got a draw. There's never draws in like the NFL. It's not like,
you know.
Well,
no,
I really don't love a tie. The game went on for about 4 hours. Neither of the teams wanted to win. When it's a tie at the end of the normal regulation 60 minutes, it goes into an overtime period of another 15 minutes. And each team like has a chance to possess the football unless the first team scores a touchdown. So basically, if you get the ball and you score a touchdown, you win. Well, that didn't happen. So it goes to the second team. And if they score any points at all, like
any
literally just kick a field goal for three, just get like halfway down the field, they would have won, but no. And then it went back to the other team and they did nothing. And it went to the other team, they did nothing again. And they were just taking forever at doing nothing. And then I'm pretty sure the Steelers were literally in field goal range. They needed like 1 yard. The guy catches the ball, runs 1 yard and just fumbles the ball.
2 seconds on the clock.
It was so unnecessary. Like, you could have just gone down and then you would have been able to kick it to win. It was like neither of the teams wanted to win that game. And it was just infuriating to me.
Okay. I can imagine for the non-cricket fans, it was awful. For us cricket fans, what felt like 5 days of sport and a tie, It was glorious. I mean, you know what? Let's be positive about the Lions. They are 0-9-1 is it? It's is it 8-1 It's not good. They'll be at the bottom. 8-1
Yeah, 0-8-1
0-8-1 They could easily be 4-4-1 I think they're not as bad as they just become unlucky. They're not going to go unvictorious this year. Obviously, the Detroit Lions are the first team to go 0-16 and 0-16.
Well, they could have been the first team to go 0-17 as well. Yeah. That would have been funny.
That would have been artistic.
At least they would have had that record, but now it's just going to be 0-16-1 which doesn't even sound right.
It does sound a bit odd. Dan Campbell was a perfectly good coach for that standard of team. I loved his time at the Dolphins. We beat the Houston Texans like with 42 points at halftime once under him. So I quite like Dan Campbell. It's just not going quite well in Detroit. Jared Goff is... Well, he's been found out. He is what we thought he was. Not a good quarterback. And you know what, Lions fans, I have so much love for you. To be going through 50 years with one playoff win and Barry Sanders, the greatest running back of all time, retire instead of playing another season with you because he thought it was too miserable. It's just so bleak for Lions fans. So you know what? Well done for not losing this week. As a Dolphins fan, as a Forest fan, I can understand that you sometimes just need a break from the misery.
Yeah.
So good on you, Lions boys. Go on.
Well, a break from the misery for you, Dom, because the Dolphins have won. I mean, we had this thing going where Dom was like, the only time his team would win is the week where Dom was not in Nottingham. And then the first week that Dom left Nottingham, his team did win. So, I mean, at this point, you just need to stay away. But yeah, you had an amazing win this week against the Ravens. A lot of people put the Ravens in the playoffs and even in the Super Bowl. So how do you feel like that game went? Is that like... made you have more belief you can take down anyone?
No. We just figured out how Baltimore works. And we've always struggled against running quarterbacks. I remember absolutely hating playing Cam Newton when he was a Patriot. All these running versatile quarterbacks. We've always struggled against the Ravens, especially in my time of watching. I think we've only beaten them once in my time of 6 years watching. It's really tough to beat them. And then I think our safeties blitzed Lamar Jackson 32 times between them. We just absolutely put pressure on him. He only got 38 yards running. We just dominated defensively. And this is what the Dolphins defense did last year, getting 10 wins. And we've not been good defensively. Teddy Brisket, the Brisket, just did not cook. He just had to come off. He was pretty woeful. And then Tua wasn't great, but we somehow got a win. Xavier Howard, ex-Island, was fantastic for us. And it was, you know what, it was almost more frustrating after the year we've had, because we've been so abject, so average at times, that I've known we've had this in us. And I know our Madden rating's really low and we're not a great team on paper, but we play well as a unit.
What it always was.
And Brian Flores makes that unit, and, you know, harking back to 72, we had the no-name defense, and last year we had another no-name defense that was fantastic. And then we've done it again this game, but we should be able to do that all year round. And I feel like the AFC was for the taking this year. We got quite a nice schedule, and this, if anything, if we lost, I would have been fine. We lost to a good team, but because we've beaten a good team, it's really frustrating. It's seemingly Forest and Miami play up and play down to their opposition, and we played up and absolutely dominated another Super Bowl contender. And it's fine. I'm not at all angry that we've wasted a great opportunity at going to the playoffs this year again.
You say that though, but you made that stat earlier about like so many teams are still in it, which means that like everyone's going to be playing like really hard, basically. So your team like has as much to play for as anyone else. Like, I don't think there's any such thing as an easy game. That's my point anymore.
I don't.
So like, no other teams are playing easy people.
Yeah, that is a fair point. I mean, we aren't going to get to the playoffs. I think we've accepted that. We don't have a first round pick, so there's no point in tanking.
Yeah.
I think it's such a bizarre set of circumstances the Dolphins find ourselves in. If we beat the Falcons and if we beat the Jaguars, which we've talked about a lot on Away Days, still available on Apple Podcasts.
plug.
We'd be in a much better position. We'd have 5 wins this year. We'd be doing quite well. And we're now in a 3-win situation where we've beaten a pretty much preseason Patriots. Who else did we beat? We beat
Texans.
The Texans. That game was described as a clown bowl, which is just so accurate. And we've beaten a really good Ravens team.
Hello. and welcome back to University Radio Nottingham. I did just hit my face with the mic, so sorry if that actually came through. Dom is laughing so much at me. Absolute disaster. Before the break, we were talking about...
Before your concussion, what were we talking about?
We were talking about some of the teams, but I just wanted to mention, in case anyone hasn't listened to... or hasn't heard, because some people didn't mention that the message the show feature is finally working.
Is it?
Look, I have the feed right here. Today. I mean, we have nothing yet this show.
Message in.
If you're listening, just, you know, shout out where you're from, or if you want to hear a song later in the show. I mean, Dom's lined up some classics. Literally one. And it is a Christmas song. So if you want to get your shout song. Of not a Christmas kind song. Of Christmas song in before that, let us know. Back to football, because, you know, time's ticking by. This is why we're talking about Christmas. Like, Christmas isn't really that far away, and, you know, if Christmas isn't that far away, Thanksgiving's not that far away. The good old Bill Parcells-ism, football starts after Thanksgiving.
Lovely. Bill Parcells deserves a whole award on your end. I'm gonna make that happen. Carry on.
So many amazing sayings. Carrying on to some teams, I just made a few notes of teams we haven't mentioned yet. And I just want to start with the Titans. Well, they used to be so bad, and then they just got mediocre, and then they were mediocre forever. And now they're actually doing so well this year. I mean, did they lose this week? No, they won. No, they won this week.
They got jammy against the Saints.
Yes, of course.
The lucky PI.
It was a little bit lucky that game. But, like, overall this year, they've won 8 games and only lost 2. And I think this is the best or joint best division in the entire NFL. So... do you think the Titans have a chance to make the Super Bowl? I feel like they are going to make the playoffs, but, like, the Super Bowl, is that too far?
I don't know. Because, okay, by the time they make the playoffs, Derrick Henry's back. We agree on that. Let's say everything goes perfect with his injury. They still have got a long season to go. Obviously, Thanksgiving hasn't even arrived. I know we're just over halfway through the season. They've still got quite a lot of football to play. They used 11 receivers against the Saints. They made playing the Saints, an okay team, look quite difficult. They got quite lucky as well. I mean, they're running back. They rely on Derrick Henry quite a lot. And Ryan Tannehill, I've said this a million times, loves play action. He loves a defense being drawn in by a thick runner who can just take the hits, and then Tannehill can throw a sort of rainbow ball over the top. Without Derrick Henry, have they really got that in supply? Derrick Henry is a physical freak. Let's not forget, like, the man is pacey yet chunky.
Imagine Adama Traore.
Adama Traore is...
Not even close, to be fair, actually.
You know what? I'd love to see Adama Traore as a running back. I think that's got legs, that has. I think that's got legs, right. Write that down for another URN project next year, right?
Okay.
But I think the Titans could make the Super Bowl, because I know I've said that they don't quite have it. The Rubik's Cube isn't quite completed in the regular season, but as soon as they get Derrick Henry back, surely they're firing. Surely. And the only problem I can see with them, if they play a good team and they're just not as good on the day, I know that sounds stupid, but they don't have any other glaring problems. If they just play a good team on a good day, they could win, but they could also lose. And I know that sounds stupid, but sometimes you're just outdone by, you know, Ravens. The Bills probably, I'd say, are better than them, but I don't know.
It just depends.
The NFL is so weird this year. You can't tell. And you never know. They could go on and win their first Super Bowl. But I'd probably put my money on the Ravens or Bills before the Titans.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it's just the fact that the Bills, like, offense hasn't really got it all together yet, whereas the Titans defense definitely has. So that sort of individual matchup, I feel like the Titans would win. But then it's the fact that if they were meeting in the playoffs, they still have, like, about 10 weeks. Well, like 9 weeks until that, like, to fix everything. And I'm sure in like 9 weeks time, everything probably will be fixed for the Bills offense. But at the same time, like, everything probably will be fixed for the Titans offense. They have a lot of time to work out how to play without Derrick Henry, that when they get him back, he's just gonna be like the little cherry on top of, like, the cake.
Yeah, they need to be able to utilize him with as not as reliable, and not him being the reliability he has before. Obviously, an injury of that severity that he's missing most of the regular season, it's going to be hard for him to get back in playoff football. He's not playing, you know, the Dolphins. He's going to be playing a good team. I think he might not be the golden bullet everyone wants him to be in Tennessee, but I still think he will be a very important cog in their playoff machine.
Yeah, no, and talking about an important cog in the machine, a team that kind of did it upset this week because they, well, kind of did it upset.
Oh,
well,
I hate the Panthers.
The Panthers against the Cardinals. I do not hate the Panthers, but this was just interesting. It's just kind of cool and like, it's just different and new. So the Cardinals were playing with their backup quarterback, Colt McCoy, which is why it's kind of not an upset because they were playing with a backup quarterback. But then the Panthers were playing with PJ Walker, who is their backup quarterback, apart from, is he now? I don't know. Sam Darnold's injured. So then they've gone to PJ Walker. But then they're like, oh, actually, let's buy, pay, sign this guy who we used to have like literally 1 year ago, 2 years ago. And we just got rid of him because we didn't like him anymore. But now we're giving him enough money that he wants to come back. So yeah, if I've just talked around the point there, Cam Newton has gone back to the Panthers. I think it was announced on Thursday and then he played in the game on Sunday. Not a lot, but he played a few snaps and he did literally score 2 touchdowns with his first 2 plays.
Come back. Oh, that was cringe when he was yelling that. But I will give you the best stat you'll hear on URN Radio this year. With the Panthers win over the Cardinals on Sunday, Cat Teams versus Bird Teams is now tied 209-209 with 10 ties throughout the course of NFL history. April, you cannot tell me that is a fantastic stat.
Perfectly balanced as all things should be.
All right, Thanos, calm it down.
Well, no, I just like that the Panthers, like, they realised they were in a bad situation and they did something spicy and interesting.
I get what you mean. They brought a lot of energy.
It's energy, yeah.
Is it sustainable? Cam Newton... I don't know.
They have a chance for the playoffs. They're 5-5, and in the NFC, there's loads of teams on 5 wins. So they literally are like in a good enough position that if they go on a bit of a run, they can make the playoffs. So why not do something kind of interesting? And it's just something else for the opposing team to prepare for. So
yeah. I mean, that dual threat really worked well for the Saints last year. I mean, they didn't win a playoff game, but they did well. And I can see the Panthers, you know, that little bit of spice is a good thing for them to have. However, I think Cam Newton is this sort of ball of, like, I don't know, he's just a ball of energy. And
might be too much.
Yeah, he's like a Mars bar. He is the Mars bar of the NFL. You can have 1 week of him, but then you start getting sick of him. And I think he's a lot of energy, but energy doesn't constitute for good analytical and statistical play. I think he'll get figured out. I don't think he is the answer to the Panthers getting in the playoffs. However, we need to talk about the Cardinals. What's just happened there then? Is it just a blip? Is it?
Well, they lost Kyler Murray. I feel like that is a big part of their offense.
34
relying
points.
On him.
You'd expect the defense to be doing better than that, surely.
Yeah, and then I feel like I can give them like a little bit of a free pass for this just because like they didn't know they were going to be playing against Cam Newton. And obviously Cam Newton wasn't there for that many snaps, but the threat of him like in the final 2 days, they probably had to like rework their whole game plan, have loads of emergency meetings and like just caused added stress that like the players weren't 100% sure what was going on maybe all the time. Which obviously, you know, that was great tactics by the Panthers if that's what they're planning to do. But yeah, if they get their starting quarterback back and if they actually like have the full week to prepare for everything that they know what's going to happen, like I think that this is just a one-off game for the Cardinals. I still think they're going to probably win the division and do really well. Like they have a strong division, but like, yeah, I just trust the Cardinals. Like, well, I say a strong division. They have one good team. And let's talk about the Rams, if you have nothing else for the Cardinals. Because, I mean, the Rams is kind of even more unlikable. Because in, like, the last 2 weeks, they've signed 2 pretty big, high-profile players, given them a lot of money, and given up draft picks, which is a bit questionable. But that's what the Rams do. Every year, it seems that the Rams give away their draft picks. So they signed Von Miller on defense and Odell Beckham Jr. for offense. So is this going to improve the offense and is this going to improve the defense? I don't know.
Well, I'm not sure. Okay, it's bizarre. You'd expect two names like Von Miller and Odell Beckham Jr. coming into a team makes the team better. Does Odell Beckham fit the LA Rams system? I'm not sure. 19 passes were thrown against the Rams this week with 44 runs. That is 1940s football level of... I don't know, you don't expect that in modern NFL. It suggests they have this weak underbelly that teams can attack, running at them, and that's more sustainable, less risky, and also plays the clock down a lot more than throwing the ball. And I think the Rams aren't... Dare I say it, they're going to be good, but I'm not going to tip them for the Super Bowl.
No.
Now, you can write that down. I just don't think Odell... I think Odell Beckham's living off his past. Von Miller's a bit old now, it's fair to say. They're good signings there. Oh, they've signed him, but then you look at it, they don't really quite fit in the system. I'm not sure about this Rams team. They're too good to be true, and I think they'll, much like Cam Newton, burn out pretty soon into January.
It seems a bit like panicky kind of buys to me, because like you said, it doesn't seem like Odell's really going to fit in the team, because they already have Cooper Kupp, who sort of is the star guy. I guess maybe they're hoping Odell takes some attention away so that Cooper Kupp has like more, you know, space and more like times when he's only 1v1. But I don't really see Odell like enjoying it too much at the Rams either, because the whole reason he left the Browns was that he wasn't getting targeted enough, and now he's just gone to a team with loads of other good players, and the defense is kind of the star, and like Aaron Donald, I don't even know. But the Rams, like, it's just a weird situation in that division, because the Rams always get beaten by Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers, no matter how bad the 49ers are. Even in the year when they were playing, like, I don't even remember his name, some guy who played about two games in the NFL.
Oh, who was he? Text in. Right, we got the new messenger feature. Text in that guy who beat the Rams.
Like 3 years ago, yeah, 2 years ago. I don't know. And then they've had Jimmy G, and like some of the games were good, some were not so good. They've won three games before this week, and then they won this week as well. But like the 49ers is just a weird team. But they always beat the Rams, and then the Rams always beat the Seahawks, and then the Seahawks always beat the 49ers. It's just a very weird situation where the teams know each other so well that they always know how to beat each other, which... Mm. It's kind of a unique situation that isn't in other sports, because obviously in football, like Premier League, you play the same teams every year to some extent, like with apart from relegation. But you only play them like, you play so many, so you don't focus in.
The percentage of times you're playing, say the Dolphins will play the Jets two times a year in a 17-game season, whereas Forest will play Derby, well, not next year, but because they're going down.
Gotta get that in.
They're going down. We'll play them twice a year out of 44 games, or 46 games. It just, there's a huge disparity in the percentage you focus on different teams, and because they're in the division, you know you're going to play them. You have so much off-season to focus in on them, and unless something changes, you get a great chance to know them over the off-season and learn from your mistakes and learn from their... what went well for them. So
yeah,
I think these divisional, like the Dolphins have a mad record against the Patriots down in Miami, but we could never beat a team like the New England Patriots if they were from, we'd never beat the Packers.
Yeah,
you know,
the division.
Yeah,
the division is like, you literally like know their number, you know how they play, and like you said, the percentage of the games that you play against them is so high out of your whole season, you have to focus a lot of your attention. And I did find the guy, Nick Mullins.
Sorry, gonna be a good texter.
Nick Mullins somehow with the 49ers managed to beat the Rams, and that was in the year that the Rams went on to go to the Super Bowl.
God, what an awful... That was the worst Super Bowl.
It was very...
Five.
It was not too many great points. But talking about teams going to the Super Bowl, I mean, there's two more teams that... I mean, I'm just going to say it. I feel like the Chiefs have a chance.
Nope.
The Chiefs have a chance
you're
at the playoffs.
If any game, OC Manura said you're playing, your football is getting worse.
Yeah, though, the actual games are terrible.
We keep saying, oh, when the Chiefs are gonna get back. They're not.
No.
They're hungover.
It's
they're
bad.
Like Toby on a Sunday morning playing for hockey. They're hungover. They're out of it. They've had their medal. They're sick of losing. They're done. They need a break. I think this is just going to be that one year we all go, oh, do you remember when the Chiefs were rubbish? That's it.
That's true. But I think we'll make the playoffs. Our division has changed so much in just 1 week.
Yeah,
we were fourth and now we're first. So in just 1 week, we are now first in the division. We're literally in a playoff place right now, which is mad from how it was like 3 weeks ago. But you're right. The way we play the games, it doesn't look like we're going to win that many. But I feel like we're going to win enough to make the playoffs, which is, I'll be really happy with that.
I think the Raiders will come up or the Chargers will come up, because you've got a tough end of season. I think you're playing Dallas, Packers. Who else you got? Some very difficult teams. So, you know what? I'm going to say it. You're coming second, not getting a wild card spot. That is... Now I've said that, it just seems stupid, because I can feel like Mahomes doing something special. But we've been waiting for Mahomes to do something special all season. We've been like, oh, it's going to change next week. Oh, it's going to change next week. It just feels like... we're in a rubbish relationship with the Chiefs. The Chiefs keep saying they'll clean up their act, but they're never going to. So I think...
No, I actually do agree. And I feel like we're in that kind of situation with like half the league. There's like about six teams that are like good and everyone agrees like they are good, apart from, I mean, Dom just said the Rams weren't too good. But
no, they're good, but they're not sustainable. I just don't think...
And then there's like about six or seven teams that are like, they're bad and everyone kind of agrees they're a little bit bad.
Entered the chat.
But then all the teams in the middle, like sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad, and sometimes they're amazing and sometimes they're terrible, and it can swing so much week to week.
Why do you think it is this year? Because there's not been a lot of injuries this year, so everyone's at full strength, so we can't use like, well, everyone essentially at full strength, shall we say, the full crowd's back. I don't get what's going on, and the extra game hasn't come into effect. It's not like we're seeing lots of upset on the last day of the season. It's mad how we've had these mad 2 week upsets and just everything's gone upside down. Dolphins are winning games and like that sort of thing. The Browns have beaten a Bengals team who we all thought was for real.
And then the Browns
and
after.
And then the Patriots are coming out of nowhere like an F1 car, just like zooming up behind us that we just haven't expected. Are the Patriots for real? Are the Browns for real?
Every team is questionable in some way. So that's why I feel like the Chiefs, you know, they could make the playoffs, because in many ways all the teams they're battling against are also a bit questionable in some way, and everyone can have a bad game at some point. And all that really matters though, and Dom wanted this song on
because it's Thanksgiving,
and I mentioned it before, football doesn't start till after Thanksgiving. Well, you've got to be in the race. Unfortunately, the Dolphins maybe aren't.
No, we're not.
But no, like, everyone's just got to basically get into good form after Thanksgiving. That's why it's sort of a saying, is because the start of the season is just like, get as many wins as you can. But after Thanksgiving is when you really need to like develop your team, develop your like style of play. Online. This is URN. Hello and welcome back to Touchdown on URN. And me and Dom are joined by a lovely special guest. Dom gave him a shout out earlier for his dancing in the other room. Welcome, Jack.
Hello.
So much energy. Jack, you're on the show after us. What is Indie Versus this week?
Indie Versus is against New Wave this week, which is a very, very broad genre, as I have discovered. It's kind of like 80s, 90s vibes. Everything that came after the sort of 80s and 70s punk revolution. So everything after that. And I'm sure Izzy knows loads about it because her dad is big into it, as soon as he was just on FaceTime telling us what song to play. So
is that like New Order sort of stuff?
It isn't. Do you know? Yes, it is. Actually, yeah, they are getting a feature tonight, Dominic.
Blue Monday?
What, the song?
Yeah.
No, we are not playing that one.
It's a banger.
I literally just downloaded the song we're playing and I cannot remember which one it was now. So that's good.
So what is your show again for, you know, people who just tune in for sports? What can we see from After Dark from you?
Indie music every week, and then unless we're doing a sort of special one time, which we will let you know when we're doing specials.
Oh, thank you.
Then it's just against a different other genre every week, but because there's a limited amount of genre, well, there's not really. You could make up one on the spot and people would probably believe you, but we've done like decades before, so we did like 60s before, we've done Motown, we do rap, hip hop, all that kind of stuff, and then we put it to the audience as to which is better on the night.
I'm going to use this opportunity, Indie Versus Elvis. I think,
you see, we're really reluctant to do one against like just one artist,
but Elvis, he's so versatile.
Well, he is quite versatile, yes. If we were going to do one, he would be one of the ones we'd probably consider. But we haven't done one of those yet.
Well, Jack, this is an NFL show.
It is an NFL show.
What's your knowledge of the NFL?
It's limited. I enjoy watching compilations of people getting clattered or like
breaking out when they step someone. Oh no. Fair enough.
No, not for the tackles, like when you step someone. I used to be a back in rugby, so it's kind of the same kind of movement. Yeah. So I know Tom Brady's really good.
Yeah.
I know Odell Beckham Jr. has the same last name as David.
Well,
David Jr. Yeah,
of course.
I know a bit. I kind of wanted to get a bit more into it, but then I didn't know what team to pick because I can't.
Oh, can we pick you a team?
I can't pick any random team, and the only connections I have to America are New York is a place I'm in love with, and I've been, and it was really cool. But then I didn't really know anything about the NFL team there, so I didn't know what to pick.
Maybe just like pick some random numbers and I'll get a team for you.
Yes. Right now.
Yeah, so let's
let's do number between.
We've never done this. We're choosing a man's team. This
happened to my BBC Sport following right now.
Yeah. This is scenes. This is a brand new territory for a touchdown.
Oh, I hope I don't pick a bad one.
Okay, well, so
what number should we go for?
Zero to eight.
Zero to eight.
Okay.
Oh, the tension.
For the division.
Dun dun. Dun dun.
I'm going to go two.
Two. Okay. You picked that.
That's not good, Jack. You wanted a high number there.
No. AFC West. Right. And now picking within these, I'll do it off alphabetical order, not the order they're in right now, because that would be, you know, you just pick number one to get the team at the top right now. Alphabetical order.
Ways. Okay. So we're doing it in divisions. Okay. So we're in AFC West.
Off alphabetical order, AFC West, right. Pick a number one to four.
Dun dun. Dun dun.
Three.
Oh, he's picked the Chiefs!
They're good, I've heard of them!
April is so happy as a Chiefs fan. Jack, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Tune into Indie Versus, which is coming up just after this show. I can't believe we got another Chiefs fan on the stage.
I mean, mate, you've literally, out of 32 teams, you picked mine. Okay, I'm buzzing.
April, I don't know if I've ever heard you that excited, and we won on a massive
Oh, wow. That's the loudest radio I've ever heard. Well, it's a new wave. That is what India's Versus this week. Jack Napton, thank you very much.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks to Jack for coming on the show. Just for that little 2 minutes, it was, listening to Indie Versus, you'll hear lots more from Jack and Izzy, of course. I did the mistake once of saying it was like Jack's show, and
it did not go down well.
Well, both of their show. It's an amazing show, listening. But next Thursday, we will not be on. But next Thursday is a big event.
Girls in pole position. They are on. That is a massive event, but I think you're not talking about that, are you?
No. I'm talking about Thanksgiving. It's like one of the biggest events, obviously, in America in the year. Will you be doing anything for Thanksgiving, Dom?
Well, if Tesco's down my road has a turkey or two on reduced, I might be having a turkey sandwich.
Yeah.
But I live with a LA Rams fan. I think just before coursework, should we be working? Of course we should. But I'm going to watch the Chicago Bears versus the Detroit Lions at 5:30. This weekday football is always my favourite time of the year. Christmas is just about to start, and there's football on during the week when there usually isn't football. And then there's a much better game, Las Vegas versus the Dallas Cowboys at 9:30, with Buffalo versus New Orleans in Friday morning. It's a good set of games. Thanksgiving is obviously such a massive time. It's arguably bigger than Christmas in America. So they put on three games. It's tradition. The Lions have played the early slot going back to the Great Depression, when they were so low on money. They said, will anyone play on Thanksgiving? We could get money here. And the Lions were so poor, they said, us, we'll play. And
for so long, though, the Lions, like, the Lions have had nothing, but they have that Thanksgiving game, and they will not take it away. But also the Cowboys. The Cowboys is a big thing with Thanksgiving. But I feel like all these four teams, Lions, Bears, and Cowboys, Raiders, they all seem like old, traditional, like, hard-running teams. And to be fair, like, the Lions and the Bears and slightly the Raiders, they're still kind of hard-running teams. They try and have a good defense, but... like, will the Lions get a win on Thanksgiving? Probably not. But they're still going to love it because it's Thanksgiving.
That is the fun. You know what? I said this before on the show. Shout out to you Lions fans, because you have a tough existence. But you get this one game where we all get to watch you. So good on you. And I love Thanksgiving. I love it. I just love it.
Daytime for the UK is 5:30. I don't know if Dom did mention this. The first game is 5:30. So that is like perfect. Put that on. Sit down. Eat your dinner. And then, the 9:30 one. As well.
Obviously, whilst you're watching the game from 6 till 7, listen to Girls in Pole Position, who'll be doing the Thursday rotational, 6 till 7, every URN Thursday. And then obviously, whack on Jack and Izzy, Indie Versus, when the Bears get a big win. If you're a Bears fan, listen to that. That'll really keep you going. But yeah, I'm really excited.
I'm excited for Thanksgiving now. Like, it's only 1 week away, and like, I literally do not celebrate at all, apart from, it's just cool.
I always cook something really big. I cook something really big.
Who doesn't love a roast dinner?
Yeah.
It's just another excuse for that. Yeah. And talk about another excuse for things. It's been announced this week. I mean, that was a link. That was
James Aldred. That was Aldred vintage.
Right, I don't know why they needed an excuse, but they've got one to film more content for...
Content is key.
Yeah, Don would love this. More content for the NFL films and HBO show Hard Knocks. We talked about this at the start of the season. They do a show called Hard Knocks, which like documents the off-season and like the preparation and the young players coming through at the different teams. And now they've announced they're doing Hard Knocks in season. And the first one, I think, is being released tomorrow, maybe, in America. So maybe on Saturday here. And it's basically going to follow the Indianapolis Colts the rest of this year, how they do, like giving a behind-the-scenes look at the training and how they prepare for games and probably making it really dramatic. If they make the playoffs, they'll be super happy. And then, like, you know, they're going to get some great content onto the show. It's exciting, but it does make me think, like, didn't this exist about 3 years ago? Oh yeah, it was the Amazon Prime show All or Nothing.
Are they still going on?
I don't know what ever happened to All or Nothing, but it just sort
they
of
they just picked really rubbish teams. Like, yeah. They picked the Cardinals and they made like the playoffs. NFC game. And
yeah,
they picked the Cowboys, then the Eagles, then the Panthers.
And the Cowboys in a bad year as well. Yeah. So yeah, hopefully for them, the Colts do have a chance at the playoffs. They're another one of those teams on
spicy.
Yeah, they're another one of those teams on 5 wins, which is majority of the league. If you're not sure about a team, just
say they're 5-5.
Say they're on 5-5. Yeah, 5-5, 5-4. That's about where everyone is at this point. But yeah, that's going to be interesting to see how it goes in the season. Obviously, give a bit of a behind the scenes look at what's going on in the Colts, which. Who doesn't want to love some more behind the scenes looks?
I love the kicker. What's his name?
Oh, Rodrigo Blankenship. Oh, he is a legend.
If he has his own sort of half an hour slot each show, I'm watching it. But yeah, it's just excuse for Antonio content, isn't it? It's just over content.
Basically, yes. But we've run out of time here, so I found a fairly short song. thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back probably after Christmas at this point, but listening to our podcast. And yeah, hope everyone has a good Thanksgiving and enjoy the NFL this weekend.